Because that's the time we're going to understand the general world of Ruchnius, especially throughout the generations, and this generation in particular, our relationship to the world, the spiritual world. When Kadosh first created man, he created him a body and soul, as it says in the verse, Ba'itzar Oisai Min Ha'adamah, which means he formed him from the earth, and he breathed into him, Ba'ifat Ba'afa Nishmasai, he breathed into him a living soul. In that original state, the way he was created with body and soul, the body did not hide or cover the radiance of the soul within the human experience. The way Adam HaRishon experienced himself was as a soul that was enclosed within a body and not a body that had a soul within it. So when a person sees themselves this way as a soul that's enclosed within a body, so the way in which they see the world around them is as a spiritual world with spiritual laws, and this is the way that they interact with everything around them. Adam HaRishon, his sin was not turning to Gashmius, but rather turning to a form of Ruchnius which was not precise. The sin of Adam HaRishon affected the entire world and Adam HaRishon in specifics. The actual curse of Adam as a result of his sin, ki ofer atah ve'el ofer atah tashuv, means that he was put into a situation where now he is more like he sees himself as a body with a soul in it rather than the original way. And this klala affected not only him, but again, the entire Bria, that everything now in the world is affected in this way, that it is more physically identified as opposed to its spiritual essence. From this point on, Adam HaRishon's experience on all levels, thought, speech, action, and everything related to human endeavor was all now tainted with a physical identity, and this is, from now on, this is the way in which things are. Our rabbis teach us that all souls were originally rooted in the one soul of Adam HaRishon. Because of this interrelationship of the souls, that all of our souls are rooted in the one soul of Adam HaRishon, so henceforth, every single person needs to view their own experience in this world, their own journey, so to speak, as a function of where have things gone since then till now, what has my soul and what has every soul gone through to get to here, and what must happen in order for things to return to the way they were in the future. Another outgrowth of this interrelationship of our souls being originally rooted in the one soul of Adam HaRishon is that we also retain, each one of us, somewhere in the recesses of our neshama, the experience of what it feels like to be a neshama that is enclosed with a body, and also the experience of what it means to be a body that has a soul within it. So these two experiences, one as a soul enclosed with a body, is something that is a little bit further away from us, therefore, now, because we live in the situation of after the death, whereas the situation of seeing ourselves as a body with a soul in it is something that's more primary to our experience. But that doesn't mean that we can't find within the depth of our own experience the ability to feel and be a neshama that is a neshama that is enclosed in a guf. This is deep within us, but it's still there. Every one of us, our feet stood at Har Sinai, as we know. At Har Sinai, we know, based on our tradition, that the Jewish people reached a level of Adam HaRishon for the fact that they were once again able to experience themselves as a soul with a body, enclosed within a body, so to speak. And this was then their situation. But we know that they sinned and then went back to the situation of a body with a soul in it, which is our current situation now, and that this, that you now will die like an Adam, it says in the verse in Tehillim, and that comes to teach us that like Adam HaRishon, based on the Arizal, like Adam HaRishon will now experience this what it means to be a body with the soul in it, which is a form of Misa, so to speak. That's a lower level, a loss of the situation of being a neshama with a body just clothed upon it. And therefore, you will die like Adam, meaning you will be in this level of body with soul in it.
בזמן מתנתו לו 40 יום עד שנפל ממוצאים בטאונס זמן של אבניאס העגל בשלב פועלות.
So, based on this, within the history of the world, there have been two points in time, or two periods, where we have had this experience of being a soul with a body clothed upon it. One was during the sixth day of creation, through Adam HaRishon. We had that experience, and we retained that, as was pointed out, still somewhere in the recesses of our soul. And the second period of time was during the 40 days from Matan Torah until Yud Zayin Tammuz, which is the period of time we're in now. We also had returned back to the level of Adam HaRishon as a soul, just a body clothed upon it. And there's a significance in the fact that these are two distinct historical periods where we've had this level. So, of course, we have this, as we've said, this experience of being a soul with a body upon it. We have this in the recesses of our being. But when a person is born, what situation are they in? As we're born as a body. Essentially, a child, a young child, is just a physical creature at the beginning. So, our formative experience as children from the point of birth is entirely body. We're constantly expressing physical expressions, whether it be crying, whether it's sleeping, whether it's eating, whatever it is, but these things that a young baby does are all physical expressions. Even then, as the child starts to develop and they begin to talk and do all sorts of other activities which are more advanced, more intellectual, perhaps personality starts to emerge, etc. But since that's happening from that inception, from that formation time where a person was entirely a body, so even as a child grows, they still see themselves within that same point of view as a body. And so even as a person's intellect starts to develop more fully and they learn and they try to attain as much knowledge and wisdom as they can and they start to develop broadly as people, whether it be 10 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old, this is the way. They still continue to view themselves as bodies, and this is the situation of most people in the world. Like they came into the world, so too they go out of this world, as seeing themselves completely within the framework of body. This is what the Torah comes to address within us, that the Torah itself, relative to the world, is like the soul to the body, the universe itself being a physical universe where its deeper purpose and its deeper meaning is not revealed to the naked eye, and the Torah comes and enlightens us and clarifies for us what the deeper purpose is, what the meaning is, what the role of every single thing is in creation relative to Hashem and Hashem's plan. So the Torah then, because it does that to the universe, the Torah also is able to help a person to reveal within themselves their own spiritual essence, their own purpose, their own deeper meaning, and their own relationship to Akash Baruch Hu. The Torah itself is the neshama to the goof of the universe, and also acts as the, so to speak, to lighten up or ignite the neshama within the person and help a person to understand their own inner world, their own inner purpose. This is where, within the Jewish world, within the firm world, this is where a problem can be, even begin here, even though the Torah itself comes to, as the neshama, the goof of the universe, and also to reveal the neshama of a person. The problem is that we ourselves fall into sometimes the trap of seeing the Torah within, as a, so to speak, from that same physical point of view, from that same body type orientation that we have. We impose that, so to speak, on the Torah itself, and we begin to look at the Torah as also letters and words and physical acts and various things that we must do without seeing beyond it, and we fall into this and miss the deeper essence, the deeper message of the Torah itself, which we see through our own physical eye, and therefore miss this. This is the issue which has always been the issue for throughout all generations of difficulty for Jews in terms of developing their spiritual being, and specifically in this generation. Throughout the generations, there have been always individuals who were able to reach this level, who were able to find this depth in the Torah and therefore in themselves, to live as neshamas and to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this way, but to the general population and in general, the physical orientation is so strong that it's always pulling everyone towards it, and for this reason, there has always continued to be a tremendous force working against this process of people developing themselves as neshamas, rather than just looking and doing the Torah from the more external point of view. So, just to give one small example of this, something that's familiar to everyone, in the Midos, in the area of Midos, character. So, there are different character traits, if you will. There's a person who's an angry person, a person who's full of passion, various other types of attributes. So, the experience that we have as an expression of this issue that we're pointing out here is that everyone knows in their mind, intellectually, that taiva, following after one's taivas, is the wrong thing to do, it's not productive, it's not effective, it's not going to help you. But on the level of the emotion and on the body level, so a person continues to still be drawn after it and is unable to find the way to control that and stop themselves. This is the muscle of, this is just being used as a muscle to explain, to bring out or demonstrate, illustrate the issue. However, there's a much deeper point here to bring out, which is different or distinct from the area of character or the attributes. Because with character, with the attributes that we're talking about, so it's always available to a person who wants to see it and who opens their eyes just a little bit. They can see intellectually, and it's clear to them, they know that it's wrong to be co-ex, to get angry, and it's wrong to follow after your passions. They can see it. They might still go after it, but they at least have that awareness, that transparency, if you will, to be able to see within themselves that tension. But when it comes to this issue that we're focusing on today, which is to be able to see oneself as a neshama, to actually identify themselves as a neshama, so this has always been the main challenge throughout all the generations, and specifically now, there's almost no reminder, if you will, there's no obvious cognitive dissonance that causes a person to even be aware that they're not seeing themselves as a neshama. There's no red flag, so to speak. So the Chovas HaLevavos, in his introduction to the Sefer, Chovas HaLevavos, Duties of the Heart, there's a lengthy essay over there. When it was revealed to him, he became clear that there is, in fact, an Olam HaPnimi, an inner world. He was very surprised. He was in wonderment. Why was there no emphasis? Why was this not being learned and taught and understood and lived? This is the basis, the foundation of the entire Sefer by Chovas HaLevavos. It goes so far to say over there that he even entertained the thought to himself that even though he was sure that there was an inner world based on his own understanding, he thought to himself, maybe I'm completely mistaken. Maybe there really is no inner world at all, because he didn't see anyone around him who was actually living this way. So he then turned and looked to the Torah itself to see if the Torah would show us that there is such an olam, and he started to find tukim, ahavas Hashem, yiras Hashem, simcha, various different things in the written Torah that clearly are all dealing with the inner world. These things are explicit. And then he turned to the words of the sages, and he found there tens, hundreds, thousands of different teachings and different principles that were there that clearly proved that there is an inner world. And so this was his conclusion, even though it was so completely hidden and so completely lost to everyone around. And this is true not only of this generation, but this is one of the Rishonim writing here. This was upwards of 900 years ago that he was already writing about this surprise that he saw that it was clearly that there is such a world and there is such a part of a person's experience. And it's clear in the Torah, it's clear in Chazal, and it was completely hidden. No one knew about it, no one was living it. The conclusion is clear that this is why we call the universe Olam. That's the Hebrew word, Ayin Vav Lamed Mem Sofit, Olam, which we generally translate to mean the world or the universe, but it's brought down from our teachers that this word Olam shares an etymological connection to the word He'elem, which means hidden, and from this we must understand that this Olam that we live in, by definition, that's how Hashem designed the Olam, that it hides, it covers up even the things that are the most basic, even the most fundamental realities, the most fundamental truths that we could possibly imagine can be hidden to us because of the reality of Olam, this universe that Hashem created, which was created to a certain degree cover over these things, and that's how far it can go. It can even cover up the most basic, primary truths that are possible to even argue on, but we don't see them. So, the conclusion is clear that just like we say the world is Olam, that means it's a place of hiddenness, and we know from our teachings, from our sources, that a human being, an Adam, is called Olam Katan, a small, miniature world. That this word Olam is also used to describe a person. And if that's true, then just like the Olam that Hashem created is able to hide even the most basic, fundamental truths from our eyes, when we can't see them, and that if a person is called an Olam Katan, a miniature universe, that means that the same aspect of hiddenness, the ability for everything to be hidden, even the most basic realities, like the person's own neshama, like the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu exists as something that I can experience within myself, these things are hidden within a person because a person is also called an Olam Katan. And this is the foundation upon which we're going to build here. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help it. we should be zeichet to reveal this pelin, this hiddenness from within ourselves, and each one of us, as Od Hashem, should be zeichet to bring this into our world. Questions? Right. So everyone here is not a one-year-old child. Everyone's already somewhere along the way in this process. So the question is not where do we begin. The question is where is each person themselves personally holding right now, and based on that, how do we continue forward? The general principles, though, are that every person needs to clarify two things. Where am I personally in this process now? And a person needs to clarify their own tunos hanefesh, which means their own character, their own personal situation, what their faculties are, what they have to work with. And based on that, then we need to build a personal program for each individual, specific and precise for them. Yes. That's a lot to translate, but I will say that based on the question was, it's very difficult to raise our children in this generation, and that's even though we're living within a community of people who are Shomrei Torah u'Mitzvos. So, how do we do this? The basic answer was, if we look at the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, none of them were completely matzliach with all of their children either. And so, Avraham was matzliach with Yitzchak, but not with Yishmael. Yitzchak was matzliach with Yaakov, but not with Esau. So, from a certain point of view, they also had their nisyonos. We have our nisyonos. There were two more primary things, which is a person to be a medaktik with mitzvahs and to appreciate the value of Torah and learning. However, to go beyond that, because our world is so full of different opinions, and there's basically an opinion that will give you a heter to do anything, even within the frum world. This rav says this, and that rav says that, and that's the reality of today. So the most important mida to try to be mechanech, beyond obviously the more basic things that we all kind of know how to do, is what's called bikush ha'emes, to search and drive for truth. Beyond that, also a bikush for ruchnias, but that's more difficult to be mechanech. But a bikush ha'emes is something that Rav feels that we could be mechanech to our children, because it's so confusing and so challenging for our children that if we at least give them this one tuna, this one character, by trying to help them become the Vakshe Emes, so then they will train themselves, they'll be trained to ask themselves, is this really, in any given situation, is this really what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to do? And based on that, they at least have a chance of getting to the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately to Ruchnius. Without that, it's really just filled with Nisyonos, as far as I understand. So, again, I'll try to translate the Iker, the main part. The question is, how do we do this? How are we Mechanech to Bikush HaEmes? So, the Rav is explaining that there's something called a tzlil. He used the word tzlil, which it's like a chime. Yeah, there's certain chimes, there's certain basic phraseologies, language that are in the mother's milk already in this community that people hear from a very, very young age. We need to learn. We need to daven. We need to do mitzvahs. We need to do this. We need to do that. Yer Shemayim, right? These are Kananahara. These are wonderful things. This is what keeps us, connected even remotely to Torah and mitzvahs. But the way to bring a Bikush HaEmes in is from already, I'm not sure if it was meant literally or if it was meant, more just as a way of saying that, you know, even a tinok b'mei ima, even when a woman is pregnant, right, that, to hear the mother saying, you know, what does a Kadosh Baruch Hu want from me? What does a Kadosh Baruch Hu want from me? The only way is to create in the home this chime to add, not to take away from what is going to anyway be there in the Olam HaKharedi, but to add in something that will give each child the ability to ask this question to themselves, because they will have heard it asked so many times. You're giving them that ability to be Mavakesh Emes by basically creating a new chime within the upbringing. That's the essence of what was said here. Right. So the question was that, is it true then that the chinuch for this begins with us, the parents? And the answer is yes, of course that's true, that to tell someone to be mevakesh emes when you yourself are not, there's no greater sheker than that. And essentially, the way to bring this in is you have to yourselves be, we all have to be mevakesh emes, we have to be asking ourselves, why am I here, why did I get up this morning, etc. And so when the child wakes up in the morning, rather than them only hearing, you know, did you brush your teeth yet? Did you get your clothes ready yet? Have you worked out and everything into your teeth? And, you know, come eat this and all the regular things that they're going to hear. They also need to hear the question that they can ask themselves, so to speak, ultimately, why did I get up today? What am I doing here? What am I supposed to be accomplishing? And the more that we live this way, the more we're able to help them get in touch with that question, and therefore this opens up their Bikusha Emes. The question is that the Rav had pointed out that there were two periods in history where we had an experience of being a soul with just a body upon it. One was during Adam Arishon's time when he had that on day 6 of creation, and the other was at Har Sinai. The question is there a third period of time where this exists, which is the child in the womb? So the answer is that no. Even though our sages teach us that the fetus learns all of Torah, is taught all of Torah in the womb, nevertheless, the mother and by extension the fetus is still within this world, and within this world that is La'achar HaChet. And so we could say, sure, that the level of clarity, perhaps, that idea that the Torah is not forgotten until after the fetus comes out into this world and is born, so they definitely have a higher quality of clarity than we have, living here in our body in this world here. But to say that they are completely beyond it, that no. The Rav mentioned something from the Arizal, that there's an idea called neshamas chadashas. These are neshamas that have never been down into this world. We're not part of the Adam Harishon neshama at that time. It's an idea in Shara Gilguim, if I understand it correctly, that these neshamas are completely beyond this framework and therefore are not tainted. Those neshamas do come down into this world every once in a while. It's very rare. And other than that, we have to understand and say that for the most part, everyone, both fetuses and people, are completely and entirely linked to and connected to this post-king situation. Some higher, some lower, obviously, but that's the yes. I only gave over the ikar of it. Was a very long answer. Part of there was, if I heard it correctly, it was mentioned here that the nisayon that we are facing here is that there are neshamas that have come down into this world in this door that are from Dor HaFlaga, Dor HaMavil, and from Anshei Sidon, which means that they're bringing, I don't know if the Rav implied that we ourselves are, per se, those, but they, those, the influence of those neshamas is affecting the world around us, and therefore we're facing multiple challenges from multiple angles and directions and levels. If I understood it correctly, perhaps I could clarify.
That can really affect a lot.
Okay, so the answer is it's deeper. That just like in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, the pasuk says about Moshe Akimin Amayim Mishisihu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgul of a previous dor, but he was from the Tzad HaKedusha. So, as well, in our generation, we have within us also Chalakim from those Neshamas, but there are two sides of these Neshamas. There's the Tzad HaKedusha that comes down into this world to be Metaken, those aspects, and then there's the general framework around us in the world. We say that there's Eruv Rav in our time, and the Eruv Rav themselves are mainly the downside, the negative side of all of those neshamas that have returned. That's the Rekha, the background around us, if you will. We may have been given the opportunity to be attacking one of the sides of Kedusha. It, just like Moshe Rabbeinu himself came in a world where there was also neshamas that were from the negative side, he came to be metakein. So we do have a bechina of those kilkulim within us, but a neshama with those kilkulim that comes down with takein has the ability to overcome it, has the ability to repair on some level. Whereas there are also, again, neshamas that are just part of the kilkul itself still. So, to clarify more, some people when they have this quiet time and they're able to get in touch with themselves, so they don't feel that feeling, so to speak, being associated with any particular part of their group. This is they just feel like I is everything essentially that they experience. That's a person who's more kashur to the group in general. But then there are different people. Some people they might experience when they have, again, this time where they get in touch with themselves, they might feel that more in the lower third of the body, some in the middle third where the goof is. The lower third represents the stomach more. The middle third is the heart, and the upper third is the head. And when you have this time, when you're getting in touch with yourself, if that feeling is associated with one of these quadrants, that can help to identify what a person's madrega or shorish is, and what specific work needs to be done based on that for that particular person. Okay. So, the Rav is making a distinction in this between actual things that are in the room around me, other aspects of what's there, and thoughts about past or future. Thoughts about past, being involved in thoughts about past and future is a complete negation of focus. Whereas, in regards to what's around me, so there's something called pnimius and chitonius, which is, in general, a person is what they're directly focused on, that's the pnimius, but there can also be other things that they can remain focused on that are more chitoni, but they're still there, they're still part of my experience. For the most part, the more pnimi a person goes, the general rule is the more pnimi a person goes, focused on one thing, they lose the awareness and connection to other things around them. The bigger a person is, there can be such a thing as a person actually living both panemia and pizomia at the same time.